Tonight we are beginning a commentary to an extremely, well, a unique book, a very powerful text from Buddha's tantric teachings. Okay, so hands up if you've never heard of tantric teachings before. Yes, a few people I can see. When Buddha himself began to teach in India a long time ago, all of his teachings in those days were called discourses. He would go from village to village, town to town, and give a teaching that was appropriate for the people of that particular area. These were publicly available teachings, and they were called the sutras. Eventually, they've gathered into a lot of books which were called the sutras, Buddha's sutra teachings. He also appeared in the aspect of Buddha Vajradhamma. Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in a different aspect. This is Buddha Shakyamuni here in the wall painting, his complete enjoyment body, appears as a blue-coloured Buddha, Buddha Vajradhara, in which he gave his tantric teachings. Now, tantric teachings are not, well, were not at that time intended for anybody to listen to, public consumption, because these teachings are extremely powerful, and in order to practice them correctly, the person who is listening and wanting to practice needs to make some special undertakings, take some special vows and special commitments, which is a very high form of moral discipline. The tantric vows are the highest form of moral discipline. If we're keeping our tantric vows and commitments purely, then we're practicing completely pure moral discipline. So that was in the olden days when Buddha Shakyamuni was first teaching. Nowadays, because modern times are so degenerate, if Buddha's teachings from Tantra were only available to those people who were prepared to do these things, then very, very, very few people would ever hear these teachings. So in our tradition, the Nyukadampa tradition, this has been happening for a few hundred years, the door is slightly open, not these doors, the door to the teachings is slightly opened, which is why it's possible for people to listen to these teachings who don't have any commitments, you don't need to make any promises about anything. However, it says here, the title is The Oral Instructions of Mahamudra, the Very Essence of Buddha's Teachings of Sutra and Tantra. So this book, I'll read from the back flap actually. This precious book reveals the uncommon practice of Tantric Mahamudra of the Ganden oral lineage, which the author, that is Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche, our founding teacher, the author received directly from his spiritual guide, who is Vajradhara Trijang Rinpoche. This book explains clearly and concisely the entire spiritual path, from the initial preliminary practices to the final completion stages of highest yoga tantra that enable us to attain full enlightenment in this life. Okay, so it's such a unique book. However, its teachings are very profound, so be surprised, or don't be surprised, if some of the things you're going to hear tonight are unusual, not to say challenging, but probably just unusual. I don't think I'm going to say many challenging things tonight. They'll just be things which are unusual for your ears to hear, if your ears are willing to hear and not completely asleep. So, are you ready? I'm going to also augment the commentary that I give with the oral instructions of the oral instructions. Okay, so before Venerable Geshe-la published this book in 2016, I think, 2015, 2016, he invited myself and a few other senior teachers to London, to Canary Wharf. We had a little apartment there, and he gave us several days of one-on-one teachings, an extra commentary to this text. So I have complete notes from that, which I can also share with you. when the time's right. Okay. Are you okay so far? So good? It's not too much, too ponderous or too difficult? Okay, so there's an introductory chapter, which we're going to be starting with tonight. Here we go. Introduction. Are you ready? This book principally presents the practice of meditation, through which we can develop and maintain a peaceful mind all the time. How wonderful is that? This book principally presents the practice of meditation, through which we can develop and maintain a peaceful mind all the time. If we meditate, is my comment. If we meditate. Yes, the book is introducing meditation, but meditation is something that individual human beings do with their minds. So it's a meditation manual. But simply listening to these teachings or reading this book will not do much for you. It may be quite positive, but it's not going to fix any of your problems. Your problems can only be fixed by you meditating on the teachings. What are your problems? They are the inner problems of anger, uncontrolled desire, jealousy, ignorance, particularly the ignorance believing mistakenly in the existence of an inherently existent I and mine, which is the very root of all human problems. Shall I repeat that for you? I think I better do. Ignorance, which is mistakenly believing in the existence of an inherently existent I, me, and mine. This mistaken belief is the very root of all of our problems. Arising from that mistaken belief comes our strong attachment and uncontrolled desires for things that we can never attain, never make us satisfied. Also comes our anger, frustration, resentment, and rage, and all of the other negative emotions. So all of our emotional afflictions, our delusions, are arising from this ignorant root in our minds. And meditation is the antidote to these things. Yeah? So it's the cure, that great group, the cure. If our mind is peaceful all the time, we will be happy all the time. Oh, yes. So have you noticed? When your mind's peaceful, you're happy. Quick, don't say anything, don't move. It's okay, you can move, you know, you can go. You can nod, you can say yes, or you can say no, you can throw tomatoes at me if you wish. I don't care. Have you noticed that when your mind's peaceful, you're happy? Well, maybe you've noticed it, because nowadays our minds are very rarely peaceful, are they? In truth, our minds are unpeaceful most of the time. Even when we're asleep, our minds are not peaceful. Even our dreams are disturbed. Modern life is very disturbing. That's why there's so much mental illness and so much depression and unhappiness in our world right now, is that everyone's minds are completely churned up and perturbed the whole time. Worry, anxiety, all these things coming from inside. But if our mind is peaceful through the practice of meditation, then we're happy. Even though we've got fly netting up, still the flies somehow get in here. So, conclusion from this little beginning is, if we really wish for ourselves and others to be happy all the time, we must learn to practice meditation. We must. If we really wish for ourselves to be happy all the time. Eventually, through practicing Maha Mudra meditation, we will be able to benefit each and every living being every day. In other words, that's another way of saying we'll become an enlightened being. There is no greater meaning than this. So if you think about the meaning of your life, then normally our life doesn't have a great deal of meaning, because we're just focused on number one. Moi, ici, me, aquí, me, here, isn't it? Me. So this is an extremely narrow perspective that all of us have. We all have this self-centered perspective, concerned about our own life and our own wishes and the things that we want now and so forth, and ignoring everybody else. We ignore most other living beings, unless, of course, those beings are important for our happiness. We ignore everybody else's situation. So therefore, our life has very little meaning, actually. It doesn't. At the end of our life, we can look back and think, what have I achieved in this life? Not a lot. And the things I did achieve have all disintegrated anyway now. You know, your business or your success or whatever it was. All gone. So the real meaning of human life is to fulfill our potential, which is to become a completely enlightened person. But an enlightened being. An enlightened being is someone just like you. All the Buddhas started off as ordinary beings like ourselves. They were ignorant and stupid. And then they received teachings from their spiritual guides on how to control their mind, how to control their anger, how to control their desires and their jealousies, and how finally to destroy them and remove them and eradicate them completely from their mental continuums, and then they became enlightened beings. So I'm going to explain enlightenment in a minute. I won't say more from me. So the function of meditation is to give rise to mental peace. And the supreme permanent mental peace is called enlightenment. What is enlightenment? Yes, enlightenment is the inner light of wisdom. So we're not talking electric light, talking about enlightenment, switch the light on. We're talking about the inner light of wisdom. This is a wisdom, this is a mind. It's a part of our mind that is, focused on the actual nature of things. It is a wisdom understanding ultimate truth, the wisdom of the Dhammadhatu, we say. Yeah. It is a wisdom that is permanently free from all mistaken appearances, and its function is to bestow mental peace upon each and every living being every day. That is enlightenment. I'll just repeat it for your edification. Enlightenment is the inner light of wisdom that is permanently free from all mistaken appearance and whose function is to bestow mental peace upon each and every living being every day. So if we take this definition of enlightenment in reverse order and apply it to ourselves, right now we're not able to bestow mental peace upon anybody, including ourselves. Buddhas can bestow mental peace upon each and every living being every day. But we do the opposite. We can't even bestow mental peace upon ourselves. And Buddhas are permanently free from all mistaken appearances, whereby ourselves, on the other hand, we are permanently mistaken. We're always, all the things that are appearing to us are mistaken. They're mistaken with respect to the way in which we understand they exist. When we perceive anything with our ordinary mind, we believe that that thing exists in exactly the way that it appears to us. We believe, for example, right now, you're looking at me, you think I'm over here, there's some gap between you and me, I'm over here, you're over there. I exist entirely from my own side, nothing to do with you. You exist entirely from your own side, nothing to do with me. This is how we feel normally about objects and about people. Buddha said it's completely mistaken, utterly mistaken. Nothing can exist like that. But right now, of course, we find it difficult even to understand what I'm talking about. But only human beings can attain enlightenment through practicing meditation. How fortunate we are, says Venerable Geshe-la. So here's the key paragraph from this introduction just coming up. Meditation is a scientific method to transform human nature from bad to good. Okay? Meditation is a scientific method to transform human nature from bad to good. Okay? Everybody needs to be good-hearted, or everybody needs to be good-natured with a good heart. Everybody, you, me, we all need to be good-natured with a good heart. We need it. We need it. I need to be good-natured, not bad-natured. If I'm bad-natured, then I'm miserable. If I'm just angry all the time, or I'm jealous, or I'm full of ignorance, or I'm full of this, that, and the other, competitive, whatever I am, I'm just miserable. I'm unhappy. But if I have a good heart, in other words, if I'm interested in the happiness of others, if I have a loving kindness, interested in other people's happiness, then I also am happy. It's very simple. You know? So everybody needs to be good-natured, with a good heart. And this is the real method to solve our own inner problems, our problems of ignorance, depression, anger, and so forth. And it is also the real method to benefit others practically. I just love the way Geshe-la has written this. Incredible. Listen up. Meditation is a scientific method to transform human nature from bad to good. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's what the world needs, isn't it? Everybody in the world needs to transform themselves from being bad to good. Everybody needs to be good-natured with a good heart. They need for themselves and for others. This meditation and so forth is the real method to solve our own inner problems. Our real problems are in here. Our problems of ignorance, depression, anger, and so forth. And it is also the real method to benefit others practically. Practically, you know, like really helping other people by giving them good ideas about how to change their minds, how to transform their minds from bad to good. This is the real method to bring about world peace. World peace will only come when the world is filled with peaceful people, people who have learned to control their minds through meditation. That's the only time world peace is coming. I ought to go to the United Nations and make a speech, but I'm not a prime minister or a president or anything like that. A Buddha would be not allowed in there anyway because he's a religious icon. But it's very simple. World peace can only be achieved through individual people creating peace in their own hearts. And they'll do this through meditation. Meditation practice is simply a method to familiarize our mind with virtue, with the causes of happiness. Virtue is anything, any object to concentrate on that makes us peaceful and happy. Calm, makes our mind calm and peaceful. Meditation is simply a method to become familiar with those objects. If you check right now, we are very familiar with objects of desire. We're extremely familiar with objects of aversion. We're extremely familiar with objects of ignorance and, you know, pride and so forth. We're very familiar with those. It's automatic. These feelings can immediately come up. These negative feelings automatically come. Even now, maybe you're listening to my talk thinking, wow, boring, or what time is it? Let's go. You know, because it's automatic for us to be like this, to be on the edge of irritation, criticism, negative, like this. And it's completely natural for us to be like this because that's our inheritance from all of our previous lives of having done the same thing over and over and over again. Until we meet a teacher, we meet someone who's going to explain to us how we can transform ourselves from a bad person to a good person, then we don't know what to do. We're confused. Everybody in the world is confused about how to do this. Most people feel the only way to improve things is to increase material development, to increase external technology, to, you know, have more money, to have a better reputation, to get a better job, and so forth. This has made no difference whatsoever. The world in the last couple of hundred years has witnessed incredible progress materially, didn't it? Just look at so much incredible material development. Everybody, every one of us here has probably got one or two or several devices, these devices that we virtually live off these days. It's almost like oxygen for us. But the introduction of all this incredible technology has done nothing to increase human happiness. It's done nothing to solve human problems. Today, if you look around the world, let's face it, there are more problems today than ever before. Do you agree? Yes. It's easy to agree, isn't it? I mean, we can see it just growing in front of our eyes, all the terrible things in the world. So this, what is this proving? It's just proving the basic Buddhist notion, idea, that happiness doesn't come from material development. Solving our problems doesn't arise from knowledge of external things, you know, machines and so forth. It doesn't come from that. Happiness and solution to problems comes from working with our minds internally. And that means learning to meditate, learning to practice Buddha's teachings,